Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. This is the Early Line. It's hour number two. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Truly one of my favorite things to do is when a championship is handed out, take a look at the year-out title odds. Most people probably tell you it's nonsensical. Very few people are actually betting in these markets right now. I don't care. It's always a treat to me. Kansas is a co-favorite at 13-1 alongside both Arkansas and Duke to win next year's national championship. Houston and UCLA at 14-1 round out your top five. I'll tell you a quick read for me, Donnie, and I don't know how many people have been diving into next year's college basketball class. Kansas is really only there because they're the defending champions. They're losing a lot of their key guys this year. Duke and Arkansas are bringing in some rock star classes.
Correct, yes. And also, you're talking about low-limit betting markets here just to set the table and get some talking points going. But do you remember how we talked about, Kevin, before March Madness began, even before Selection Sunday, saying, wow, you know what, outside of Gonzaga, who's a clear-cut favorite, there's probably 10 teams or so that can logistically win this thing and theoretically win it. And you ended up with a number one line, but Kansas wasn't that high up the rankings, right? It wasn't like they were the stone-cold favorite like Gonzaga was. If we're taking a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning, Kevin, 17-1 or less, which is if you take a look at Gonzaga, which is 17-1, there's 10 teams. There's 10 teams. And it's not as if we have a Nets or Lakers line of, hey, just put a plus 200 out there to win a national championship. It's 13-1 to 17-1. 10 teams to win it next year. I love seeing that because it shows that the market is still stabilizing itself, saying we don't really know who's going to win, but we're not just going to give out here, you know, 4-1s, 5-1s, 6-1s. There's legitimate chances here with big money tickets to be had. And also taking a look at evening of the playing field. If I see that next year where you have 10 legitimate teams to win a championship all bunched together, that's sensational for college basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. The Arkansas, there's a lot of expectations. Will Jalen Williams come back? Obviously, for those that, if you're watching this year's tournament, Jalen Williams, you know, the big, took all those charges, was fantastic for the Razorbacks this year. If he comes back and they pair that with Nick Smith, who's a top 10 player in this class, Jordan Walsh, Anthony Black, also five stars. I mean, Jordan Walsh, I mean, you got to imagine that guy's going to probably average about 35 a game with a name like that. This team absolutely has what it takes. One thing I'm super fascinated by, though, Donnie, and again, I'm just using ESPN's recruiting services here. Very, very kind of, accessible, easy stuff to access. They have the number 1, 4, and 5 player to the Duke Blue Devils in this recruiting class. Derek Lively and Derek Whitehead, very exciting. But my intrigue here is you add Kyle Flipkowski, you have two 6'10 guys, 6'10 for Flipkowski, 7'1 for Derek Lively, two legitimate bigs. The size that they get to put out there on the court. But here's where this really, to me, multiplies, Donnie. Hubert Davis, year one filling in for Roy. I beat Duke twice in the most important games of their season, and I went to the national championship. John Shire is not getting a, hey, listen, man, we get it, first year without K. Donnie, he's coming in co-favorites to win a title, plus we saw what Hubert did in UNC. He has as high of expectations as any coach in the country on him.
No, you're right, and it just goes to show you that sometimes it's not a lot about the X's and O's. Look, good coaches get to the Final Four, you know what I mean? Bill Self's one of the best. He ends up winning it here. Did he have the most talented team in this tournament? No, he didn't, but at the same time, these coaches are brought in to bring great players in, Kevin.
Yeah, they certainly are. Our radio audience is with us here on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside live on the early line, making it happen with you here, talking a little bit about these 2023 national championship odds. And just allow me to kind of point this out again. And you tell me if you agree, Don. Just with a quick look here. And again, I know we're years out. To see Gonzaga just sneak into the top 10, as opposed to what we've seen from the Bulldogs 2 years in a row. Is that not a big sign? Is that not something that's going to catch the eye of someone who might be just kind of taking a look at this and going, Gonzaga 17-1? I mean, Donna, Gonzaga was under 10-1 all season long. I feel like it shows that that few window, it might have closed, man.
It might have closed because you're right. Used to being one of those top dogs, but also do you see some underlying value possibly in taking that 17-1? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't looked at the WCC ratings next year and who's going to be top, you know, top or bottom, but I can probably tell you Gonzaga is probably going to win the WCC. So if you're looking at odds there of 17-1, how do they approach the tournament yesterday, next year? Do you think they're going to be 17-1 or cheaper, or 17-1 or higher, meaning 30-1, 40-1, 50-1, or even missing out on the NCAA tournament? I don't think that's going to be the case here. So I do think there's a little bit of backlash against Gonzaga because you're right. We don't see a lot right now, but to hit the nail on the head, the transfer market is out there. I mean, what, there's a college basketball team with what, LSU, with all of their players in the transfer market? He's going to be able to pick off some really good players there, and we'll see who he closes with in recruiting. And if not, he's still a really good coach, and they're going to win the WCC.
You know, it's a good point by you. LSU at 180-1 is probably not far enough down this board. They don't have a chance to even remotely be in the mix. And I'll just say that to your point, are they going to win the WCC? Very, very likely. But, Don, like, you're just penciling this team in for one seed. Might be a three seed Gonzaga. It just, and look, three seeds can make runs. It's just, it's going to be a different vibe around that program coming into the year. Major League Baseball is heating up. We're going to talk about a trade and some home run props next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on a Tuesday, Major League Baseball just a few days away from their opening day. We saw a trade yesterday take place between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Detroit Tigers. And the Rays are a team that I know for me, I will change my tune on in the whole prospect versus established player conversation. They send Austin Meadows to Detroit, one of the better players on this Rays roster. This Tampa Bay team, Donnie, has won the American League East 2 years in a row. They're looking to continue that. Detroit wants to get to the postseason. This is the kind of deal that if maybe almost any other team makes, I go, what are you doing right before the year? The Rays make it, Donnie, and now I'm thinking to myself, Austin Meadows is probably going to have a bad season and Tampa will be just fine.
Yeah, and isn't that the way it always goes down to, like, oh, Tampa, you were really good, and you get rid of Blake Snell, you idiots out here. Who would have known Blake Snell would have a down season and Tampa Bay would be just fine? It's one of those deals where you enter into the market with the Tampa Bay Rays, and you pick up the phone. Somebody's down there. Hey, who is it? Secretary says, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. They want to talk to you about a trade. Hang up that phone. I'm not picking that phone up here because you know you're about to get got at that point. But having said that, if you look at this trade, and I know we can't look back, like, well, they know when the guy is done. That's why they're moving on. Eventually, Austin Meadows is going to make some money, and typically Tampa Bay doesn't want to pay all that much money. But when you're looking from a Detroit prospect here, he's going to fit right into the middle of that lineup and a lefty bat that they much needed. If we're looking for his projections for this year, he's going to be in the mid-20s in home runs, and that's exactly what you needed here for the Detroit Tigers. Get a nice young player that eventually is going to make some money, trade it away now, because when you're looking from a Tigers perspective here overall, they're on the way up now, right? They had all those down years, but now the lineup looks pretty talented here. Badu, Grossman, Baez, Meadows, Cabrera, Candelario, Scope, Torkelson, and Barnhart. It's a nice-looking lineup here. That's a very, very good addition for the Detroit Tigers for me, Kevin.
The Tigers are hoping to make the playoffs. They've made that abundantly clear. Their price to do so is plus 350. Their win total checks in at 77.5. One of the big moves of the offseason was Javi Baez making the move towards Detroit as well. So this is a Tigers team that's looking to improve, hoping probably to pick on a central division that for a lot of people is the White Sox and everybody else. So maybe it could be Detroit. Yeah. And if Chicago maybe has a down season, something goes wrong. The Lance Lynn injury just popped up. In fact, the White Sox just signed Johnny Cueto last night, needing to add to their pitching staff. If things could slip for a Chicago White Sox team that is supposed to have a nice year, maybe Detroit can kind of catch the bottom of it, which will be an interesting thing to follow. You mentioned the projections, though, Don. And tomorrow, DRS and I will hit a lot of these previews and player props and things of the nature for your Major League Baseball season. One thing that's already listed right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook is an over-under for a lot of players' home run totals there. And I wanted to talk about two guys from each of the two teams involved today, the Tigers and the Rays, and tell me if anything jumps out to you from kind of some of the projection numbers that you're often comfortable with, or, you know, even just kind of previous history for these guys, Donnie. Austin Meadows and Javi Baez, both with identical numbers now for a home run prop, both check in at 27.5. When you look at Meadows and you look at Baez and you look at those two numbers, does anything jump out to you?
I think they could both get there, but we're going to preface this by saying, you take a look at Javier Baez, obviously not playing in Wrigley Field anymore. He's not going to play in Detroit. And then if you take a look at Austin Meadows, who actually went from Tampa Bay, had a decent year, but going to Detroit. The reason I'm glad we bring these numbers up, because a lot of the times you could just say to yourself, yeah, Javi Baez can get 27.5 home runs, which means 28 or more. Austin Meadows, if he plays every day, yeah, sure, he can get 28 home runs. But you also have to look at the objectivity of where they're playing at. Detroit is really not a great hitter's ballpark, a great home run ballpark, and also you're talking about a team that plays in Detroit. So for the first like month and a half of the season, there's going to be snow flurries out there. So I don't know how well it picks up from that aspect, but if I'm leaning towards, you know, I love overs and I love home runs, and you know, hopefully they continue to check the pitchers for substance and they can't just go and dominate out there with filthy stuff. These guys should get over their home run totals, but at the same time, if I'm betting 27.5 and 27.5, Kevin, I'm actually going to the under on these two guys. Tough hitters ballpark there, and I'll play it off there.
And that's one of the fascinating things about these numbers, right, is you absolutely have to factor in the ballpark that they're in, what kind of, you know, range that puts you in, right, for how, like, Joey Gallo's number, for example, is almost entirely based on the fact that he's now, if he's healthy, going to play 81 games in Yankee Stadium. Like, that's going to be the big thing for him, right? So for Javi Baez, maybe the number does look a little bit light, but also it could very well be born out of the location. Javi Baez last year was able to hit 31 home runs between the Cubs and the Mets, but as Donnie mentioned, hit way more home runs as a Cub than a Met. Yes, he played double the amount of games, but it, you know, the pop rate may be a little bit better. On the Tampa Bay side, Donnie, two guys that jump out to me, Brandon Lau, who's, you know, turned himself into a bit of a power hitter here at 34.5, and one of the top five choices, I believe just narrowly inside the top five for the AL MVP this year, Wander Franco, number much lighter, 19.5. We know Franco can do his damage, though, in ways more than just the pop, but the number does jump out here for a guy that's going to be, you know, heavily expected to be in the AL MVP race. You look at Brandon Lau, you look at Wander Franco, what jumps out for those two guys?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, Brandon Lau, when I looked at that number, I had to do a double take here saying, hold on now. He's expected to get 35 home runs down to Tampa Bay, but he did basically that last year, which shows you how talented he is. So are we looking for a repeat performance? Maybe so, but if I'm looking more from an upsider perspective here, Wander Franco for me, and the reason is last year he only hit 7 home runs, but he got under 200 at-bats. We're looking for a guy taking that next evolution here in his game, and granted, you are in Tampa, one of the worst home run hitting places that you could possibly be in, but But how do you counterbalance that? Well, you're in the AL East, Kevin. You're going to Toronto, which is a pretty good hitter's ballpark. You go into Yankee Stadium, another good hitter's ballpark. You're going to play at Fenway, another hitter's ballpark. The Baltimore Orioles, another hitter's ballpark. Even though, keep an eye on this one, they did move their left field wall back, which kind of upset me a little bit. But if you're the Baltimore Orioles at that point, you just give up so many home runs, you have no choice but to just send it back another 20 feet and pray that your staff can make up for it. So if you're looking from that same perspective where I just told you the Detroit Tigers, not a great hitting ballpark, the same thing here with, you know, you're talking about Tampa Bay, but they do have a much easier division of going on the road and hitting it. And also, if I'm looking at upside here, I do think there's a legitimate chance that Wander Franco can get 20 home runs. Of the four guys that we're talking about, it's Wander Franco for me getting to those 20 or more home runs this year.
It's hard not to be enticed by that, again, for where he is projected to be in the MVP race, even if maybe some of his success isn't predicated on power. The Brian Allow number is jaw-dropping, though. He had 39 last year. But that is something, isn't it? And I was almost half expecting, 10 of his home runs to have come at Camden Yards. He only had one last year at Camden Yards. I mean, he smashed in Tampa, Donnie, right? Like that's where he had plenty of success. It does feel like a very big number, though. And, of course, the one thing with these – so here's the interesting thing is Donnie and I did the NFL player props, right? And – I feel like maybe one or two of them, right? Between certainly multiple between the two of them. The injuries creep in and they kind of hurt your numbers. Yeah. And we know that that's expected. Baseball's 162 games. I mean, that's a long way to trust health of a player, right? It feel like, for me, and Mike Trout is a perfect example, Donnie. His number is 36.5. If you tell me Mike Trout plays 145 games, easily is going to smash that. Will hit 40 home runs. Do I trust Mike Trout to stay healthy? It's over $162. It's a much bigger asking price, right? Now, yes, you can say you have more leeway, but those are the kind of things that you have to factor in. We're taking a break, though, right here on the early line. When we come back, the NBA board re-enters the fold. There's a big game for the Lakers. If they have any chance, they have to win in Phoenix. Oh, boy. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action fills up the board tonight. I mentioned that Lakers-Suns game. We'll get there. There's another big one in the West between the Grizzlies and the Jazz. But I want to start with the three games that feature the three MVP candidates, if there even is still an MVP race to be had. We'll begin in Denver. The Nuggets host the San Antonio Spurs. A must-lose game if you're the Lakers watching this one, if it even matters. Denver's a strong 8-point favorite. The total for this one is 234.5. Jokic props, 28.5 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 8.5 dimes. DRS, Nuggets, Spurs, what catches your eye?
Yeah, I guess if you're playing for the Spurs in this game, right, obviously getting 7 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 234.5. Is this one of those games where now if you're the Spurs, you're not worried about technically wins or losses? You're almost playing this game going, if we win, great, but we'll just watch a Lakers game just to see if they lose. And if we do lose to the Nuggets, we still have, you know, we're not coming down the stretch where we need to win three of our last four games or we're out. We basically have to win, I don't know, one game here at this point to try to overtake the Lakers. So maybe you're just rolling out and say, let's keep some of these guys still a little bit fresher for games that we know that we can steal as opposed to playing the Denver Nuggets, which leads me to my next question here. Yeah, still have Nikola Jokic here at a -310. He's still trying to close out the MVP, but that's still a good Nuggets team. I think tonight the veteran presence of this Nuggets team wins out, and I do believe, even though they show that they can compete with or without starters here for the Spurs, I think this says this is a Nuggets line for me, and I'll go that direction.
Yeah, it's a very, very strong number. on Denver.
It is.
I think you could sell me on Denver maybe catching them early, as San Antonio has now been playing against the G League team in their last two games, playing the Portland Trail Blazers. What an utter embarrassment they continue to be. I think the total's fascinating here. It's a big-time number at 234.5. Denver's been a strong team to the over at home, but San Antonio's played a lot of unders on the road, and specifically when they are a road underdog here. I think the total could be a touch too high in this basketball game. On the Nikola Jokic side, it does feel... safe is obviously maybe too strong of a word. 51.5 points, rebounds, and assists is a monster number, but this is what Nikola Jokic has been doing. I mentioned this to you the other day, Donnie. I think maybe we've under-discussed Jokic ramping up his performances, realizing that the MVP is right within his grasp. And again, we've talked about his last five performances: 35, 12, and 8, 26, 19, and 11, 37, 13, and 9, 38, 19, and 8, 38, 18, and 6. Joker's been dominating, and he should tonight here with a huge total versus San Antonio.
Yes, he should, and he knows, we know, Joel Embiid knows, Giannis knows exactly what the score is technically here in the MVP race, and you even saw Joel Embiid at the end of his last game at the presser going, I don't know what I have to do to win the MVP award, because quite frankly, I think he thought he had it wrapped up as well before the straw poll actually came out. So when you're looking for a guy in the favorite spot for Jokic, what does he actually need to do tonight? Because he set a bar, Kevin, that's so high at this point. Are we going to look at this game when he finishes with 26-8-8 and be like, yeah, even though they won, Kevin, Jokic just didn't have it tonight, and we're going to drop that down to a 290 price, because it's almost unfair. The numbers that you just ripped off are ridiculous. They're like arcade numbers at this point, but that's what we expect out of Nikola Jokic. Out of these final few games, minus 310, you put it this way. If the straw poll is right, you can't lose it. If you're a minus 310 favorite at this point with what he has to do, as long as he doesn't go out and give you 3 points in three straight games, he's going to be the MVP here. But I still do think he goes out and dominates tonight. I'm expecting a triple-double performance in a game with a tempo that should be great in the mid-230s.
Yeah, it's 51.5 to me. You should be able to offer up, look, he's the MVP, like, he's been kind of hit or miss because the numbers are right. He's just smashing the numbers, and he'll likely continue to do so. Let's talk about Embiid tonight, Donnie. The Sixers are going to make the trip to Indiana tonight and lay 11 points. I mean, Donnie, that is just a ton of points to lay with the Sixers on the road. The number was 12. It's down to 11. Joel Embiid, of course, continues to catch the eye. I mean, this is a team that he can beat up on. His points prop tonight is no joke, man. 33.5, Donnie.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised. It's kind of funny. You look at that number, and I'm actually not surprised, I should say, that it's that high, which is kind of ridiculous. But you are right. If this is one of those games where Joel Embiid is going to be unimpeded to the basket because Goga Bedazzi is going to be the starting center anticipated tonight for Indiana, he should do whatever he wants. It feels like one of these games where at the half, Joel Embiid has 26 points, doesn't it? And maybe that, you know, down the stretch with the Philadelphia 76ers, we'll see where they end up in the actual playoff race now that they've clinched a playoff spot after beating the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road. This has that feeling to me where he still thinks there's a possibility he can win the MVP. So how about one last try here, right? Maybe one last 45, 50-point effort by Joel Embiid to see if he can sway those numbers before the Sixers go, hey, Joel, great season. I don't know if you're going to win the award, but hey, kid, we really need you healthy and ready to go in the playoffs and rested. I think he gets one last shot tonight and goes absolutely berserk and gets in 35-plus points tonight.
Embiid for 40 is plus 265. If you've got him over 33.5, it's a number that's going to be absolutely in shouting distance. He just put 44 on Cleveland. I will say, people always, you know, oh man, I'd love for Sixers Nets round one. Since Ben Simmons isn't playing, that's lost juice for me. Obviously doesn't happen, no cross conference. Sixers Nuggets round one would just be perfect, but obviously that's not in reach. What is in reach is this total, 232.5. I believe this game will be going over the listed number. Philly has played two straight unders as a road favorite, but still cash at nearly 70% on this season to the over when booked as a road favorite and as a home dog, and just as a home team in general. Indiana has been playing countless overs, five consecutive now. They're the best over team at home in the NBA at 27-13 on the season. This game will be into the 240s tonight. One more MVP candidate to discuss. How about Chicago? A 4.5-point home dog versus Milwaukee. I will talk about Giannis in a minute, Donnie. Can Chicago finally beat a legitimate team? Their last game was at home versus Miami, and they lose the game by 16 points. I mean, can Chicago finally, Donnie, get in the mix here versus Milwaukee?
I don't like my prospects here, and it's one of those teams I hate betting against because Milwaukee is so talented here. But I just got to feel like for the betting gods and the betting purposes here, of me watching the Chicago Bulls ticket to make the playoffs, that I'm still sitting on that, which should have cashed a long time ago. Thank you for the Philadelphia 76ers for picking up a W on the road against Cleveland to sort of give you a little bit more breathing room. But I think we spotted this a couple weeks ago. It's not an easy run here for the Chicago Bulls to end the season, and they are getting points here. Like, look at that. They're getting 4.5 points at home from the Milwaukee Bucks. So if I'm a betting man in this environment, that tells me that's a Milwaukee Bucks line. I will be cheering, Kevin, for the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. But if I'm betting this game singularly, it's going to be on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight for me.
It's actually, it looks like quite a light line, if I'm honest, on the Milwaukee Bucks there. Bucks come into this one losers of two in a row. Obviously, the Clippers game, they benched a ton of people. Losing that game to Dallas, the spot to back Milwaukee this season has been as a road favorite. That's where they have been good. 16-9 against the spread this year as a road favorite. The Chicago Bulls are pretty much the worst underdog this year. The Utah Jazz have a lower cover percentage, but that's only an 8-game sample size. The Bulls have been an underdog 31 times, which is incredible for the amount of wins that they have. And they've only covered 10 times, 10-21 against the number as a dog this year. It feels like a really good spot to back the Milwaukee Bucks. Lastly, DRS, 31.5. Does Giannis have any prayer in this race, man? I think one of the problems is Milwaukee's little 2-game losing streak took them out of range for the one seed. I thought that would have been a huge, huge piece of a Giannis argument if he could bring it down. That doesn't seem to be in range, really, with Miami continuing to rack up wins, winners of 4 in a row. We'll preview their game in a bit. But what do you think about that Giannis 31.5 number?
Yeah, he's probably going to press it as well down on that. And I wouldn't be a betting man to go against him at this point. But I think the point is valid that you're bringing up. And it's kind of interesting because we had that big-time win. Talking about the Milwaukee Bucks over the Philadelphia 76ers, come back and win that game on the road. Then you followed up by doing the same exact thing against Brooklyn. And he gave it all away, Kevin, the next two games. Because you were thinking, hey, Milwaukee Bucks going to take a stranglehold here. And we talk about the FanDuel odds boost, right? Well, the odds boost for Giannis in his MVP market would have been like, now, hey, this is the sign of a really good player playing great basketball and leading his team into a number one seed. Doesn't look like that's going to be a factor now. So maybe a little cooling off period here for Giannis and those MVP odds.
Yeah, he missed. I don't want to say he missed the window because the window wasn't really there. But if it was, he plays versus the Clippers, runs it up for an easy 30 ball in a game where nobody played any defense, and then they had to beat the Dallas Mavericks. And I know that's asking a lot. How you got to win seven, you know, X number of games in a row? You can't drop two in a row this deep into the race. I'll say this quickly, and tons of more NBA to preview on the other side of the break. The Chicago Bulls are 27-1 to win the Eastern Conference. 27-1. This Bulls team has not been able to beat any good basketball teams in the East. But if they could find health, find rhythm, and draw a matchup in round one, I'd be interested in such a big number on Chicago. But you'd like to see something tonight. I like Milwaukee. I think they cover the 4.5. I'm surprised the number's not closer. You know, 6.5 range right there. Make you pay something to really consider on Milwaukee. That, you know, 4.5 typically feels closer enough to a money line that you'll make the move on the Bucks. Want to see what Chicago brings to the table. Early Line takes a break. We continue to preview the NBA slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports. Still some NBA action to preview. The Lakers go to Phoenix. They are catching 12 points from the Suns. I said when we kind of reset the Lakers last week, right? This was before the loss to New Orleans and before the loss to the Denver Nuggets and LeBron sat out, that this is a game that I never thought the Lakers would have a chance in because I thought Phoenix would try and make a statement versus the Lakers because the Lakers have obviously said if we were healthy last year, we would have been able to beat you. And I think the Suns will take that a little personal. The Suns actually enter on a two-game losing streak, which is wild. One of those losses just came to Oklahoma City by 21 points. That's obviously incredible. Chris Paul was out there for 30 minutes of work. No Devin Booker, no DeAndre Ayton, as they're probably just getting ready to handle the Lakers. Donnie, 12 points, if LeBron plays, if AD plays, will always feel like a ton. Do you read this line and think that those two are going to be available tonight?
Yes, they're going to both be available tonight. And also, I'm reading this line going, it's heavily for the Suns, and rightfully so, because the Lakers aren't a very good basketball team. But if I'm going to get a healthier LeBron James, a healthy Anthony Davis in this game, and one last stand for the Lakers, because if you're looking at this game, let's just say the anticipated starting lineup is true here tonight. Westbrook, Bradley, James, Davis, and Howard. And this team gets smoked by like 15 or more points. Just shut it down. Things are going to break up in the offseason. But I have a feeling, like I'm not saying that the Lakers are going to win this game because I actually don't think they are going to. But I would be surprised if this is one of those games where the Lakers are down 10 points at the end of the first quarter, 17 at the break. It reaches the 22 in the third quarter. I just don't see that tonight. I see this as one of those last-ditch efforts where the Los Angeles Lakers knows, number one, do they want to get in the play? And of course they do. But number two, sometimes just not being embarrassed when you're a superstar athlete when you're not supposed to be embarrassed, if that makes sense. Meaning, if the Lakers take the court tonight with Anthony Davis and LeBron James going against the Phoenix Suns and get smoked, that's a terrible look. But if they go down swinging in this game with a total that's going to be in the 230s, I don't know, let's just say 120 to 117, and it was a close game all the way through, then you could say, okay, maybe if we retool this roster, we'll be okay in the offseason. Just didn't work out, but LeBron James dropped 40 points. He's going to win the scoring title, so you have a little bit of morsel to look forward to in the offseason that you can savor before you get underway next year. I don't think the Lakers get smoked in this game. I don't think they win, but if I'm betting it, Kevin, I'm actually going to take the Lakers with the 11.5 points as almost a last stand. Yes, we still have self-respect.
I truly believe that if both LeBron and AD are active, this is not double digits. Maybe I'm totally off base here. I really don't think that's the number. And I agree with Donnie. I do think they both play tonight. I don't have much of a reason to believe that they won't. We all know LeBron is going to play at least two more games this regular season. It's a necessity for the scoring title, and he's going to play those two games. I don't see why he wouldn't be out here tonight versus Phoenix. I think that if they are both out there, they do have a chance to cover. I know this could go left. I think your total makes a lot of sense, though, because when the Lakers get ran, they give up 125, 130. So the total can make some sense here on both sides of it. I don't think the Lakers are winning or even competing, really, in a 110-104 basketball game. That just doesn't really feel like the way this plays out. I will put this into perspective, though. If the Lakers lose this game, obviously considerable favorites, the most likely outcome. They have three left. And let's say the San Antonio Spurs lose. They're an 8-point underdog tonight. The Lakers need to win out, and the Spurs need to lose out. Any other outcome, and the Los Angeles Lakers' play-in hopes are done. That's where we are now on the Lakers. They basically cannot have the Spurs win another basketball game, or they will not make the play-in, the complete opposite of controlling your own destiny. Another fun game on this board, Donnie, is Jazz and Grizzlies. Utah's a 5-point favorite. How is anyone laying 5 with Utah? I mean, this is a group, Donnie, if you bet them, you got to go hand over the button. You got to go hand over the button the whole way here, man. It just doesn't feel right. Memphis just doesn't lose. I mean, they won't lose. Like, they really are playing just outrageous, outrageous basketball right now here. Like, we're going to, you know, imagine a world John Morant comes back first game of the playoffs. They lose that game. Like, conversations are going to be quite wild. Utah keeps losing in just some of the most heartbreaking ways you'll find. What do you make of this strong Utah line?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, you are talking about a strong Utah line in this spot here. And are we just waiting? Try to equate it to other sports, Kevin, which I like to do. The Cleveland Browns a couple years ago in the NFL. You just keep betting them. Sooner or later, they're going to win a football game because the value is there. Are people doing that against the Grizzlies going, hey, sooner or later, you don't have your superstar player. You can't go 20-2 straight up in these games. And granted, that is a huge number because if you're looking at this game overall, do you think Memphis can win it? Probably so. John Morant's been out. They win the quite frankly, the overwhelming majority of those games he's missing. But is this one of those spots where you play in elevation where finally you say, the Memphis Grizzlies can't be that good without Ja Morant as they lose a 10-point effort into Utah? I'm going to dip into this one because typically you'd say to yourself, what are you, crazy? Memphis doesn't need Ja Morant at this point. They win without him and they're catching points. I'll take my shot here. I understand that. But this line tells me, feeds into it. I think Utah's going to win this game. And it's the same way I felt last night with Kansas, even though they didn't cover. If I think Kansas is going to win this game, I think they're going to cover the spread. They didn't. But I have that same feeling about the Utah Jazz tonight. But I think they win this game. They're going to cover those 5-6 points here against the Jazz. Or excuse me, against
the problem with Grizz. The Jazz. Yeah, the problem, though, Donnie, with the Jazz, and I don't think there's anything wrong with your breakdown, is you know how, you always talk about it, the reason why you like team totals, right? Especially Major League Baseball, we're about to ramp up. Did they score 4?
Yeah.
Cool, turn it off. I don't got to worry about this anymore. Can't take it back.
Yes, correct.
Donnie, there's folks that laid 2 points with the Utah Jazz versus Golden State, and we're watching that game with 2 minutes left. Like, you got to, we were up 21 points. Like, we haven't scored in an hour. Do you know what I mean? That's always the difficult thing with the Utah team is that you never feel safe. I think Donovan Mitchell's 26.5 tonight really jumps off of the page. I think Donovan Mitchell steps up here. This team has obviously really been struggling, but you're going to see Donovan Mitchell let it fly. I'll just say I saw something yesterday across the timeline that unbelievable scenes, Don. Do you know that he's passed the ball twice? Let me find the exact number on this. He's assists. He's passed it to Rudy Gobert twice. Like, clearly not a fan of Rudy Gobert. Where is this tweet? Here we go. Yeah, he's averaging 2 passes to Gobert per game. Passes. Like, he just won't throw Rudy Gobert the basketball. Like, this team, unless they go to the NBA championship, unless they go to the finals, this situation's breaking up in Utah.
And maybe it should, right? Because how many years can you count on this being a good basketball team but never getting to the fruits of your labor, if you will, in the playoffs? And maybe this is one of the last times that we're going to get it. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Donnie, a good spot for you tonight is I know you'd love to back the Brooklyn Nets when they're at home, laying 17 to the Houston Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Donnie, you're going to have the Bed-Stuy jersey out and laying a number with the Nets tonight.
Yeah, the only good thing about last game is it actually, you know, I don't really necessarily want to buy a Nets jersey, but I actually do like that Bed-Stuy Brooklyn jersey. And tonight, I mean, forget the trends here, Kevin. Let me explain this to you again. You got Kyrie back. You got Kevin Durant back in the lineup. They didn't factor in through the first 3 quarters of the season together. So tonight they're going to get back on that court. A 20-point blowout win tonight by the Nets. And each one of these guys getting 35-plus points tonight in an easy, easy victory. Don't tell me any trends or stats about, you know, you can't bet these guys. You can't do this stuff. Don't tell me that. Give me Brooklyn tonight.
Yeah,
it's a route.
You don't mean that. You don't mean that at all. Here's the deal, man. All right? Here's the deal. This team never covers. And Donnie's aware of this now. I mean, he's burning your money. He's lighting it on fire. Folks, it's under 15% of games. They're 4-24-1 against the number at home this season as a favorite, Donnie.
There's value.
Donnie, like, where?
Where, Donnie? Where's the value?
There's value.
Where's the value?
Yeah, the value starts, as I said before, the only breakdown you need of the Brooklyn Nets game is the minute they bring the basketball up the court and Hypnotize plays an instrumental in the background, that's all you need to know. That means you know you're in good shape. They should have won the last game against the Milwaukee Bucks. That should have been a W. So tonight, extra angry here, K-Dub, for one of the NBA's best teams.
Really?
They get revenge.
I love when he does
they
this,
get revenge.
Man. I love when Donnie hangs himself out to dry. So let me get this straight. Your angle tonight is that this team wants revenge off the Milwaukee loss.
Yes.
That's your revenge? And it's ignoring the fact that they've played a game since then versus Atlanta. No. KD dropped a career high 55 and they lost.
Because, look, they know. They said, man, I watch the Sports Grid all the time here, you know, based out of New York City. Like, we let DRS down. He was going to buy that bed. There was even word out there that Kyrie Irving and KD were going to sign that jersey and send it to put on my wall. And it didn't happen. So tonight, comeback. The comeback is on.
What an angle. No, this team's real mad off that Milwaukee loss. Tonight's their night. The Atlanta game, they were just kind of focused about the Atlanta game. But now that they're playing the Rockets, they're gonna punt it.
We're going to cut a promo tonight and everything before this game.
Tell you what, you tell me Hubert Davis is coaching this game other than Steve Nash. We might have a conversation.
Uh-oh.
Don, what do you think about this total? 244 and a half.
Man, it's beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
Like, the Brooklyn team total tonight is what, 130? What's the team total tonight, Don? Like, can we find a way to do the math on this? Because I don't know if it's listed just yet.
Yeah, let me see. It's got to be, right? No. I don't know if it actually is either. I'm trying to take a look here at what it has. Let's see. Popular section. I don't see the team total actually listed here, which is kind of wild because it actually has all the player points, rebounds, and stuff up. Does it show it?
But just do it. I'm just doing math, right? Like, if I told you Brooklyn's team total is 130 and a half, and then the Rockets is like 113 and a half, you're at 244, you're at 17 and a half. Donnie, you got to be kidding me here. Like, this is 130 and a half is the team total? What do you do with that, Don?
You know, and also,
what do you do with that kind of?
I don't know what you do with it, but if you look at the players, like the actual, you know, players' points in this one, Durant is listed at 30 and a half, and Kyrie Irving is at 26 and a half, which means what, 57 total points? Are you telling me this bench is going wild tonight here for the Nets? If we have a 130 total and they only account for like roughly 55 or so points here? This is pretty wild tonight. I like this. It's going to be the game of the night.
Yeah, you like
center stage. Look,
I mean, it's open season here on Rockets plus the 17, right? But,
man,
you bring up a good point. Like, Donnie, is it time to run back your favorite parlay? Kyrie and KD each for 35. Donnie, it's plus 1180. It's plus 1180.
It feels like it. But glad you don't get that in a blowout, I guess. Is that the only way you don't get it? They don't play in the fourth quarter at all and they both sit with like 30 points?
But like, if it's a blowout, Don, like if they're going to hit their team total, they're probably at like 100 points like going into the fourth quarter. That's a really, really, really interesting scene. No doubt we'll expand on that, I know, when we get to Moneyline as well, which is 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. Heat Hornets is a good one tonight as well. A lot of fun action, Hawks, Raptors. But Don is going to close out the early line with Listen Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here on the early line, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carrying you from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after, and Ben Stevens. I love this time of year. It's the changing of the seasons, and I'm going to tell you why I love it right here on Listen Up. Ah, yes, the changing of the seasons. And sometimes you do have to shed some tears, just like the North Carolina head coach. But at the same time, you have to say, you know what? college basketball was good to us. Gave us a great March Madness, as it typically does. A wonderful Final Four, a send-off of Coach K unceremoniously, and also a champion crowned in Kansas. But the minute that we wipe off of the odds board the NCAA action, we can add some new ones here, particularly Major League Baseball, which we sit here on a Tuesday, opening day being a Thursday. Tomorrow for me in the Right Side household, just about Christmas Eve, opening presents on Christmas Day, that type of feel here. But also keep in mind on Thursday, we talk about Major League Baseball opening up, wonderful stuff. But a rite of passage here into spring, obviously, as we talk about the Masters tournament here. So many great looks here. We'll see what the temperatures are in Augusta this week. We'll see the blooming azaleas here. We'll see the crystal clear blue skies overhead and Jim Nantz's soft voice guiding us around the golf course. It's a great time for us to be here, but also keep in mind the NFL taking center stage at the end of the month with the draft. But I have to say, it all gets back to Major League Baseball. Each and every fan base fired up for the team to open, whether it's this Thursday or this Friday, that feeling in the air that playoff baseball could be just around the corner, only to have those thoughts dashed by week two. And of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates are center stage there. The Kansas City Royals, you're not going there, but you can enjoy opening day. It's a rite of passage. We're ready to bet. We're ready to win money. We're ready to get out there, but always use your best judgment here. Don't fire that bankroll right away. We got plenty of time, people, and enough time for the morning after to come up right now with Ben Stevens and KW. Stay tuned on the grid.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.